rape statistics by country 2020. Did you know rape is an unlawful sexual activity, typically involving sexual intercourse done forcibly or under threat of injury against a person's will? Rape is a worldwide problem. It is estimated that approximately 35% of women worldwide have experienced some form of sexual harassment in their lifetime. In the majority of countries that have data available on rape, report that less than 40% of women who experience sexual violence seek help. Less than 10% seek help from law enforcement. Because many women who experience sexual violence rarely report or come forward about their incident, exact rape numbers are challenging to report. While many countries have laws against the act of sexual assault and violence, many of them are insufficient, inconsistent, and not systematically enforced. While most people hear about rape and sexual assault against women, men around the world also experience sexual harassment, sexual assault, and rape every day. Women ages 16 through 19 are 4 times more likely to be victims of rape or sexual assault. And female college students ages 18 through 24 are 3 times more likely to experience sexual assault. Transgender people and those with disabilities are 2x as likely to be victims of sexual assault or rape. In the United States alone, 70% of rape is committed by someone the victim knows.
Hello, hello, everyone out there in podcast land. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Unpredictable Talk with me, Tamika Marie. I am your host for this evening, and tonight we got a special show lined up for you all, and it's actually a topic that has been sweeping the nation. It's the Gayle King and Lisa Leslie interview. Let's talk Gayle. Let's talk Kobe Bryant. Let's talk Snoop Dogg. On the line with me, I have some fierce debaters that are ready to tackle this topic with me. So you sit tight. Don't go anywhere. I have a few bills that I want to pay. And when we come back, we will get right into the broadcast that is underway. So I know you will enjoy yourself. Stay tuned. Thank you. Hello, 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 everyone out there in Facebook and podcast land. And thank you for joining us on another episode of Unpredictable Talk with your host, me, Tamika Marie. And I am going to give, I already have my cousin online with me, Selena Austin. And I am going to give Melanie a few minutes to get it together. I have Melanie Williams on the line with me as well. And today we are going to be touching a very hot topic, guys. This topic has been sweeping the nation by storm. And we want to kind of talk about it a little bit and tackle it here today and just give out insight and give out input and give some facts. Because if anybody knows Selena Austin, okay, and Melanie Williams, they go by facts. So what I'm going to tell you guys is that, first and foremost, they are both mothers. They are entrepreneurs, they are actresses, and they're activists of all things controversial? But I will say this, they will tag team you in a minute and get you together. So I do not want to go forward. Everybody's coming on. Hi, everybody. I can't get to everybody. Just say hi, show your love or whatever. I am definitely wanting to wait just a few minutes until we get Melanie on. And once we get Melanie on, we can proceed. You know what, Nina, let me I can go ahead and send her another link and we will get started here. And I just sent it to her. So while we are waiting on Melody, Selena, tell us a little bit about yourself and what do you do? What is your business? What's your entrepreneur? And just tell everybody what it is that you do.
Ooh, I have to ask sometimes what I don't do. Hey, everybody. Well, as my cousin so lovingly put it, I'm a mom, an entrepreneur, an actress. I am a minister in the church. One of the things that I do is I'm a blended family coach. I decided to go into that field because as a bonus mom, I recognize that there are some difficulties that people may face being in a blended family, being part of blended family.
Right.
So I felt like, you know, a lot of the bonus moms, bonus dads needed a voice and needed validation for some of their feelings, needed an outlet to talk to someone who's going through the same thing, who understands, because sometimes they feel like they're alone in this whole world of being a bonus parent. And then I also wanted to fight the stigma of being the evil step parent. Like, we the step parent as this person who's against the child, who's against the biological parent who's in the house. So
so true.
So my husband and I, we both you know, we look at each other's kids as our own, which is why I use the term bonus, because they are extra kids that I didn't have to give birth to, or he didn't have to contribute to their creation, but they are ours. So they are a bonus to us. So we don't use the term step because we wanted to take the stigma away from being the non-biological parent of these kids. So that's just a little bit about what I do.
Wow. That is awesome. That is awesome. And you know what? It is crazy because I was actually looking for someone to have a podcast show with talking about blended families, because there are a lot of people out there who's actually, you know, in blended families and want some advice and want some help. So that's good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
I see that. You're welcome. I see that Melanie sent the message and saying that she's having some issues logging on. I want to try to invite her on the Facebook Live if I can, and see if we can get started that way. Hold for a second for me, guys. Let me see if I can actually add Mel on to Facebook Live and see where we can go from there. Just give us a few seconds here.
All right.
And we will get, because I really want to do this with both. Man, let me tell you, this topic here, wow, you know?
And you said we tag team. We find that we have the same brain sometimes. Like, she's my art. So
yes, and I don't think a lot of people actually know that.
Yeah.
Give me a few seconds here. Let me try to work this phone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, guys, I can't seem to get. I just can't.
Technology is.
Yes, and you know, the devil just wants to be busy when we're trying to get all of this information out here. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm going to do is, hold on, guys. Let me see if I can actually bring her on. Just be patient with me. Let me get her name typed in here, and we'll go from there. I'm telling y'all, y'all do not want to miss this, because this is going to be good, okay? Why is it not?
Oh, here she goes.
Oh, there she goes. She's finally on. Yes, honey. Yes. Welcome, welcome, yes. Welcome, Melody.
The devil tried to stop me, but we wasn't happy.
He will not do this today. Not this evening. No, ma'am. So Selena already told us a little bit about herself. I said that you both were actresses, moms, entrepreneurs. So Selena told us a little bit about herself. So tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into this conversation that's so needed and a lot of people want to hear.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Thank you for thinking of me.
Of course.
And my name is Melody. I am an actor as well. I also run a trucking company, and I also am employed by my children.
We all are.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing, and that's that.
Okay. Awesome. So we are moms that have our plate filled. Okay. So yes. I want to get into this topic because it's been sweeping the nation here, you know, and a lot of people have so many different views, so many different opinions, so many different things that they, you know, said about what's going on. So I'm just going to go ahead and put my take out there. So what we're talking about today, guys, you know, we're tag teaming this as well. I am doing a podcast. I'm actually doing a live podcast right now, and I'm doing a live Facebook video. So everything that we talk about right now is going to be uploaded to my podcast, and you can find my podcast shows on Spotify. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. You can find it on Google Podcasts. You can find it on Breaker and a few other platforms that I'm working on getting on. So with that being said, after this live is done, I will definitely be uploading everything to those various platforms so you all can take a listen. So the topic at hand here is let's talk. Let's talk about Gayle King. Let's talk about the interview with Lisa Leslie. Let's talk about Kobe Bryant here, because these are some situations, you know, and it goes deeper than just Kobe. Okay. Finally, for once, came together. It's crazy what we can do if we would come together as one. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people voiced their opinion and came together on this topic. And it goes deeper than just Kobe. Is Oprah Winfrey, is Gayle King, is they're not having the type of talks that they need to have, or interviews, shall I say, that they need to have with other people like Harvey Weinstein and stuff like that. So this is deeper than Kobe, okay? But my take on this first, before I let you guys tag team it, because I call y'all to the tag team, okay? Y'all tag team, all right? Y'all be bulldogging it, okay? So that's why this is called Unpredictable Talk, honey, because we're going to talk and it's going to be raw, it's going to be uncut, and we're just going to let the people have it. So now, with that being said, my whole thing with this interview with Gayle King and Lisa Leslie is that, okay, she had an interview with her, which is all fine, well, and good. The tragic accident that happened with Kobe, his daughter, and a few other people, it's just not, a lot of people as well as me do not like the fact that she seems not to be sympathetic towards Kobe Bryant's tragic death in this interview. Everybody's trying to figure out why is she now all of a sudden wanting to bring up a case, a rape case, that he was not acquitted. Okay, let me get that right, because y'all had to check me. I had to go back and do some studying. Okay, because y'all like facts, you understand? All right, so we're going to do facts. So the case was dropped because the person who was the victim, or shall I say the accuser, did not want to testify. All right, so, and I believe that it was settled out of court, but it wasn't publicized as to what happened, if it was money or whatever was the case. But my thing is, Melody and Selena, I think that this is something that should have not been mentioned in an interview with Lisa Leslie. Why? Tell me, Mel, you go first. Tell me, why do you think that everybody is so upset about this? Why do you think Gayle King brought this up? Now, I know she's a journalist now, granted. And they talk about hot topics. They talk about things that are tough. They talk about things that other people are thinking or other people want to know. But my thing is timing is everything. And even in the Bible, it says it's a time and a place for everything. So Melanie, give me your spill. And once you give me your spill, Selena, you come and on and jump in and piggyback off of what Mel says.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in the world that we live in, celebrity news is everything. Okay. Mm-hmm. First of all, let me start by saying that I am very, very much sending condolences to Kobe's family, to his wife, his children. This has got to be the absolute definition of devastation. Yes. I feel like I wasn't a Laker fan. I wasn't necessarily a Kobe basketball fan, but mm-hmm. I saw Kobe as magic. Kobe was extremely inspirational to me. And one of the things that I do often, that I've done for years, is go back and watch the second half of his final game. Because I remember watching that game live, and I sat mm-hmm. there, and I literally felt like I was in the middle of a spiritual movement. Wow. Kobe had transcended human form. I felt like for 48 minutes that he united the world, people around the world, all different languages, everybody was pulling in one direction. You know, just for that little bit of time, because of what he was able to do, that guy, he wasn't human. I, in a way, feel like that night I saw, and don't take this the wrong way, but I saw in a spiritual sense, God through what he was doing. It wasn't about basketball, but it was about him being able to be so deep in purpose and so well in place that he was able to show us that. That he was able wow. to do something that was just so crazy. So few people ever get to that level. I pray to get there, you know? And so that's the thing. Kobe, dope, tremendous loss for the world. You know, I pray mm-hmm. that he is somewhere happy, resting. His daughter, you know, is heartbreaking. I pray that his wife is finding the strength that she needs to move on. To go on and move on, because that's a terrible word. I didn't mean to say that, but to continue on. But yeah, so anyway, so starting out, let me say that. Now, as far as Gail, as you've already said, is a journalist. Okay.
Yes.
Journalists who get to Gail's level get there because they ask the questions that are on the lips of so many people. Kobe's rape case, since he died, has been in the headlines. You know, people have gotten suspended about talking about it. People have gotten fired about talking about it. People have gotten blackballed because of talking about it and this and that. But here's the thing. We are really, really, really at a dangerous level if we pick and choose what parts of a celebrity's life we can actually talk about. That's number one. Number two, didn't we just get through saying that Donald Trump shouldn't have the opportunity to tell the media what they can and cannot ask him? That they should be able to ask him and say what they want, and that he should not be able to control them saying what they want just because he doesn't like it. That's what we just went through with him trying to shut the media down because they were talking about aspects of his life that he didn't want brought up. Mm-hmm. So now that it's somebody that we love and admire, all of a sudden, you know, we're flip-flopping on that, and no, it's taboo, she can't say it. Another thing that I do not like, I follow Gail and Oprah. I remember since I was probably 4 or 5 years old, I've been mm-hmm. watching the Oprah show. I've mm-hmm. grown up literally on the Oprah show. I've watched all of her episodes. I was there and crying on her very last episode on her 25th year. I was there when she talked about the little boy with cancer who told her that 25 was the perfect number for her show. I am an Oprah mm-hmm. fan through and through. I've seen her numerous times in different venues, and I've followed her. Oprah and Gail. One of the biggest mm-hmm. things that they have done is talk about rape, molestation, and what they call sexual seduction. Mm-hmm. And Oprah always says, and most people don't listen to everything that she says, but what she always says is whatever she talks about is not about the person that is doing it. It's never about when she did Leaving Neverland. She said, this is not about Michael Jackson. Yes, Michael Jackson is the product here. He is the focus here, but this is not about him. This is about what happens with our children when they get around people in the way that they are able to be taken advantage of. She's like, so if you make it about Michael, you're going to miss the opportunity to learn something that could keep your kids potentially safe. So Oprah was actually raped with her dad in the house by a family friend. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. you know, it does not take much. So that's been their thing. So to see them talk about rape is not strange. To me, they've always talked about rape. They've gone into prisons and interviewed people who have done rape, and they've asked them, why did you do it? Why did you choose a baby? Why did you choose this person? And they get into these minds is what they do. So it's not strange to me.
So let me interject here. because you know me, as you know, I'm not as big as Oprah yet. I'm gonna say yet. I'm striving to get there, honey. Tamika is gonna be making her path made known. But my thing is, y'all already know me. Y'all know me as an activist of what? Mm-hmm. Sexual abuse, domestic violence. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. right. So if I'm gonna touch on sexual abuse and domestic abuse, I'm gonna touch on everything that's going on in this world, on who is with or with whatever. I'm gonna touch on it. So my thing is if I agree with her as far as rape, molestation, and getting it all out in the open is, but my thing is, why is she not pointing the fingers? Okay, put it like this. If she can point the finger at Michael Jackson and she can point the finger at Bill Cosby, why can't she point the finger at Harvey Weinstein? Or why can't Gail interview the guy that was fired from CBS because of sexual harassment or whatever? Why are they not doing that? Why is always, it seems like to me, it's always pointing the finger at the black man.
Let me, may I interject?
Yes, you can interject.
So to piggyback off of what Mel was saying, I'm a Lakers fan. I've been a Lakers fan since James Worthy was on the team.
Kareem, yes, I have been too.
So I've been a Lakers fan. When we got Kobe back in what, 96, 97?
Yeah.
We got Kobe. 96. I was right there. So I've been a Kobe fan.
Right.
When the rape allegations came out, you know, I felt some type of way about it. Like, oh my gosh, when he came out and he gave the apology that he gave, I felt, you know, okay, he's taking responsibility for this. Exactly. My issue comes with people being upset with Gail right now is because a lot of people make it seem like she blatantly came out and said Kobe was a rapist. Her question.
Okay. Yeah. Explain to us exactly how it was formed.
Okay. Her question to Lisa, because the segment was about Lisa Leslie and her relationship with Kobe. That's what the segment was about. A lot of people are like, well, why did she ask Lisa this question during an interview with Lisa Leslie? Right. Because the interview was about Lisa Leslie and her relationship with Kobe Bryant. This is how Kobe came into the interview to begin with. Now, she asked the question. She says, Lisa, a lot of people are saying that Kobe's legacy is complicated because of the rape allegations, a charge that was dropped back in 2003, 2004. She used the words, a charge that was dropped back in 2003, 2004, mm-hmm. to make sure that information was out there, to let people know that, hey, he was accused, but it was dropped. So she made sure, those were her words. She said, do you think his legacy is complicated? Lisa responded, it's not complicated because Kobe wasn't the type of guy to ask me to get him dates, to ask me to pull girls over. She was saying that she's hung out with other NBA guys that did that. She says, I didn't see Kobe as that. Then Gail's response was, but you wouldn't though. And I understand a lot of people have issue with that. But
because
for
she
me,
kept digging. To me, it felt like she just kept digging. You know what I'm saying?
It was a three-part question. Her last thing was, do you think the media should continue to talk about this part of Kobe's life? Lisa eloquently responded, no, I think they should leave it alone. And that's where Gail stopped that line of questioning. A lot of people didn't get past the first part of the question of her asking, do you think it makes his legacy complicated? She was not coming at Kobe as saying Kobe is a rapist. She was coming at the legacy because, like Mel said, this stuff is being talked about in the media right now. People are talking about the fact that he was accused of rape. People are talking about the fact that, yes, his legacy is complicated because it has this one little blemish in it. People are talking about the fact that there's a girl out there who accused him of being raped, accused him of raping her, and nobody's thinking about what she feels. I think right now, the only person that can tell us not to talk about that is her, because she is still alive.
And they still will talk about it.
That has to deal with it. She is the one that still has the stigma around her. Whether I'm not saying Kobe did it, but I'm just going by the letter that he wrote, the apology that he wrote. He said that she may have perceived it to be non-consensual. I can recognize that. I recognize that I felt it was consensual, but I also recognize that she did not. So if he can recognize that, why can't these sycophants, why can't they do the same thing? That's so, where my issue comes.
So let me ask both of you, let me ask both of you this. So with that being said, so what are all of these things that, you know, I have read and saw people making comments about some of the things that she that transpired from her lying. Some of the people said that she lied, or some of the people that said that she got a train ran on her, or that it was a white man's semen, or, you know, some of these accusations or some of the things that were being talked about. What are your opinion on that?
Okay, let me look. I had to stay off of the book called The Face, because people in these myths that they're passing off as facts is ridiculous. Yeah. For one, they found no semen inside this woman. None.
Inside her.
No semen inside her. They found one type of semen that belonged to a white male on her underwear. She said that she said, I'm not saying because I wasn't there. Her claim in the court documents is that the day that she went to take the exam, she accidentally pulled her dirty underwear, from a few days before, from when she was with this person.
Yes,
that's disgusting.
Right, but that was her word.
Disgusting. But this is who these rich men are rolling around with. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
So she said that. Now, she could be an opportunist. She could be an opportunist.
Yes,
she could be. If y'all know me, I am the blackest person y'all know. Y'all ain't gonna find nobody blacker. Y'all ain't gonna find nobody who's gonna stick up for black men harder. But I'm not gonna cover their BS, and I'm not gonna cover them when they are wrong. That is the thing. Is it highly plausible she saw him and saw money bags? Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
And was he possibly dumb enough, being that young, never having that type of experience, married fresh out of high school, women throwing him booty left and right and this and that. He probably was in the hotel bored, you know, whatever. Was he made a very dumb decision. No matter what went down that day, he made a very, very dumb young person with super fame and super money and super freedom and super opportunity. Right. Would make, you know, we all do dumb things. So I'm not even upset with Kobe at all about it, because we all done dumb stuff. I've probably done dumb stuff and then without money.
I'm definitely not upset with him, because for one, you know, it was dropped. Now, if he was charged and guilty and charged, you know, I would definitely feel.
So just because something was dropped don't mean it didn't happen.
Because a lot of times rapes are harder to prove in the court of law than almost any other crime. And you have the fact that the victim gets treated a certain way by police officers. The victim gets treated a certain way by people that knows she's the one that's bringing this this case up. The victim gets all this stuff. Then they have to relive this experience. Yep. On the courts, on the stand. So now they don't want to go through that. So, heck, I didn't want to go through court when it was time for me to go.
Yeah, they get shamed, they get threatened, they get all of these things. Yes. That. And then here's the thing, though. She's not just saying, hey, Ray Ray on the corner who slings dope raped me. She's saying Kobe Bryant, the world's
most beloved basketball player.
Me, little old me, that's pushing a cart around in a hotel room when he was getting his surgery done, where he's staying. Mm-hmm. So, like, nobody's going to believe that. People say, if she was really raped, she would get on the stand. How many times were you raped? Yeah. And how many times did you walk into a courtroom to tell a whole bunch of strangers what happened to you and hope they believe?
Well, I tell you, I would. I definitely would. If
you don't know that.
I totally know that.
if I was raped and I know I was raped and I was violated and I told this man no and he proceeded to do it anyway, I would definitely testify.
Mika, listen to me. You absolutely cannot say that.
Why? Because,
for one, rape is extremely complicated.
Very.
It's extremely complicated. And not only is that, it changes the person. Dr. Phil described it in a way that kind of made, he said, if you were like, you could take a whiteboard, just a plain whiteboard.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's who you were supposed to be, if somebody rapes you, it's like they've done put black markers all over it. It completely changes that. It changes your psychology. It changes your chemical makeup. It changes your brain. The same way that abuse, a woman who is being physically abused and isolated by a man, it changes who she is. And it's easy for us to stand here in our confidence in 2020 and say what we would have done back in 1996 against Kobe Bryant, but that is not always the case. And this girl, even if she was lying, she's a poor girl who came from a very poor family
in Colorado.
In Colorado.
So don't forget now, you're talking to somebody who's been molested more than once and raped more than once. So I've been there. You know what I'm saying? I've actually been there. Has anything happened behind it? No. Have I told it? Yes. But you know, back in those days, they want to sweep things under the rug.
And this was back in 2003.
Listen to this right quick. We got a statement from Facebook.
Okay.
So the person says on Facebook says, why is it though in his death, his legacy is being questioned? This is very sad and disrespectful. I'm thinking, just like Mel was saying before, you know, everybody's talking about it. But I say to why didn't they interview him while he was alive? Why didn't they talk about this now to where he can defend his own self? You know what I'm saying?
I have an answer for that. Please. Back in 2018, this was less than 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. He was on a panel for a short film festival for an animated. Mm-hmm. People rallied to get him off of that short film festival because of these rape allegations back in 2003, 2004. So this isn't like, well, they waited until he died to bring this up about his life. No, people have been talking about this.
When he won the Oscar, they brought it up again.
When he won the Oscars, yeah. Yep. People wanted to, people started petitions to take away his Oscar because of those rape allegations. Oscar.
Yep. So this is not just, and that's the thing about.
Hold y'all. I'm sorry. Gotta remember, this is a podcast as well. Now.
Sorry.
I want both of you. Y'all excited. See what I'm saying? Tag team.
Sorry.
So y'all have to talk one at a time so I can get all of everything that you're saying. You know what I'm saying? So let's do this. So let's do this. Let's talk about what Snoop Dogg comeback was. Let's talk about some of the things that he said. And I want you guys' opinion on it. And I want you guys to talk about what you feel, whatever your opinion is. And when you're done, say, okay, you know, and that's all I have.
Okay.
And that way Selena or Mel can know when to come in. So let's talk about it.
Let me get this one.
Go ahead.
I got you. Snoop Dogg. Okay. All right. Well, I will say this. I respect his feelings. Mm-hmm. And I even respect his stance. What I cannot respect is his behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
agreed.
If we are in a position where this man who is 48 or 49 years old, who still the best thing we know him for is smoking weed and calling women bitches and hoes. Like, that's the best he's done in 49 years that we got. Look,
we got power.
After I heard him let Martha Stewart drop that N-bomb with him and that N-bomb with him and Lil Yachty, and he said nothing. After that, that's when I was just like, okay, there's something wrong here. Him and Lil Yachty I'm going to respect your podcast. I'm not going to talk the way I normally talk, but
this is unpredictable.
She came to him. Her comment was, "Don't you hate when Lil Yachty do nigga shit?"
Get out of here.
Snoop said nothing.
Zero.
Google it.
My mouth Google it.
Now, that's number one. I respect Snoop's, that's his friend. That's his boy. He just lost Nip. LA is in the pits again. He got all his people in it. I get it. I get it, Snoop. I get it. You're upset. And I get that, you know, if somebody was to come at my friend, even in life, I'm going to be upset. But
right.
There's some things you cannot do, especially when you have the platform that you have, because mm-hmm. you have generations of young boys who are watching what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Our girls and our Black women already don't get any respect from our men.
Right.
And then you have somebody who is on this type of a platform going at a woman who's a grandmother, who, and you come and call her a dog-headed face bitch, this, and you did it numerous times. F her, I'm coming mm-hmm. to see you. You cannot do that. And mm-hmm. here's why, because you are setting a precedent. What happens is, Mika, right now, if somebody came at your boys, they know they got to go through you, right or wrong.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
If somebody came at my kids, they got to go through me. Nina, somebody came for your house, they got to go through you. Yeah. But see, when it comes to Black women, they ain't got to go through nobody to get to us. Any race of men can come at us because we're not covered. Our own men don't cover us. We don't have any of that. And when we are applauding that Snoop is going out and tearing down, there was a time my mama could say, if an adult was wrong, you still can't come at them a certain way.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm right.
saying? You come to me and let me take care of it. Now the door is wide open. Black women, we don't have any kind of covering. We have we went to a whole new low.
So with Snoop Dogg, so many people are applauding him. So many people are saying, you go ahead. But then in the same breath, they'll say, a man better never disrespect me, because if he shows that he has a violent tendency, I don't want nothing to do with it. But you are applauding a man who's coming at a woman. And then you're sitting there coming at a woman for doing her job, coming at a Black woman for doing her job. Then Snoop said nothing when this white woman posted 18 hours after Kobe died. She posted a link to the original rape story with no context, nothing attached to it. She just posted it. Nobody said anything to her. He didn't get on Instagram calling her a dog-headed bee, calling her ugly, telling her, we coming to see you if you don't take that down. He said nothing about this white woman. He said nothing about anybody else that brought up this case after Kobe died.
He has all this energy. Easy target. Black women are the easy target because we are uncovered.
The lowest.
He's not going to go with all these other people because, there's just nothing to it. It's anytime something happens, it's the Black woman mm-hmm. is going to get the brunt of it. And granted, I'm not saying that Black men have it, you know, they're not living it up, la vida loca or whatever. But when it comes to us, it's just like everybody knows that, you know, it's like we in the front, you know, we mm-hmm. take all the bullets. And it's just, it's not cool. And I really wish that we were at a place where Black men mm-hmm. and Black women could uplift each other, where we could care for each other, where we could protect each other. And let me just address this. I know a lot of people are feeling like Oprah and Gail, and Mika, you even talked about it, Oprah and Gail.
I was just about to say it. Go ahead.
Well, we were going
to
bring that up.
So with the working for the white man, and I could say something, but I ain't going to, because it'll blow your whole podcast up and everybody will hate me for that. So I'm going to hold my tongue on that. We can talk about that offline.
Okay,
no.
I want you to tell me what you thinking offline, but
we'll take that one offline. But if we're going to call
Gail, are you serious? Is it that deep that you can't just say it?
Oh no, I can't say it here. I can say it to y'all offline, but I can't say it here.
Hey, everybody on Facebook, they said it on Facebook. Say it, pal.
Okay. No. look here. What, I like my neck, and I know how Black people are. I like my neck. So we'll take that one offline because that's a whole different conversation.
Let me say this, and I want you to piggyback off of what I'm saying, or give me some feedback. I think, just like you said, Snoop has that platform, you know, and he was very upset. Yeah, that's his own boy. I get it too. And I love the fact that you're saying that we're not covered, because yes, as Black women, I don't feel that we are covered enough by our Black men, you know. But my thing is, hey, Irwin Man said no, I want to hear it. But my thing is, but my thing is with Snoop, I can kind of understand what he was saying when he said, you always coming at us, you know, we your people. You know what I'm saying? I think he felt like, you know, you always attacking the Black man, but you have yet to say anything about Harvey Weinstein and all of these other white men who've been accused of rape allegations or sexual harassment, you know, allegations. Come on. And it's true.
Okay. I haven't seen it either. It's not true, Mika. Mika, listen.
It's not.
Well, that's not.
I follow Gail and Oprah. Well, not necessarily Gail, but I follow Oprah. Oprah has interviewed so many rapists of all color. Mm-hmm. So many. She has had a hand in so much. Oprah had a show one time where it was either 300 or 400. I can't remember the number. 300 or 400, and it was all Black men. All Black men. Just Black men in her audience. Who had been raped and molested, because mm-hmm. she wanted people to know that it's not just our girls that's dealing with it. Our Black boys that's dealing with it too. Yes. And it was either 300 or 400 of them. And these men were brave enough to bring pictures of themselves at the age of which they were molested. Some of them were molested by women, some were molested by men, and they talked about it. And those men, at the Oprah show, she shut down the show for Black men, and they cried together, and they talked, and you can go on her own app and you can find that today. You can find that right now. So Oprah has been there for Black men. Oprah has interviewed white men. Oprah has went into prisons with white men who have been convicted and talked to them about that. Now, as far as the Harvey Weinstein thing, there are more than 10 documentaries on Harvey Weinstein. I wish Black people would hush about that. They cannot give you one, besides Lupita, they cannot give you one of Harvey Weinstein's victims' names. Why? Nope. Because they don't really care about the victims. They just want a reprieve in a way to say that Oprah and Gail are wrong. And here's another thing. Mm-hmm. The Harvey Weinstein documentaries premiered at the biggest film festivals on the globe. Mm-hmm. Harvey Weinstein's name is garbage. They ran him out of his own company. They took him down. Harvey Weinstein don't have no name no more. He's done. She don't need to even do a documentary on him. And let me hit you with this. Why they up with R. Kelly? Why they with Michael Jackson? I'm not going to talk about the Michael Jackson thing right now, but I'm going to let you know. Back in 1999, a friend of mine, and went to FAMU at the time, gave me a copy of the R. Kelly court document of the original statements from his victim. Mm-hmm. The thing that I read in 1999, that's when I muted R. Kelly. This man was putting 12-year-old girls in orgies with each other, grown men, himself, mm-hmm. recording mm-hmm. it. This wasn't mm-hmm. no onesie, twosie, no she was hot in the ass thing. It was not that. This man has been abusing young girls for over 30 years. He wasn't abusing white girls. He was abusing poor Black girls, mm-hmm. hundreds of them, but yet we're mad because here in 2020 Gail asked them about it, and that goes into the whole thing of us not being able to hold Black men accountable when they're wrong. On my page when a cop shoots an unarmed Black man, my mouth, you know my mouth big. I'm all over it. Every time. Yes. Anytime a Black man has an injustice. And then, oh, yeah, get him, sis. You know, sis. And then as soon as I say, oh, well, R. Kelly, oh, you a coon. Oh, you
just know. You want to bring him down.
You must have daddy issues. He is you must have this. Wrong. You must. And that's the, and, but he's not the only one. And no, see, the thing not. About me is that I know everybody on this phone can attest. And it may be you. You don't have to say it. But I know everybody on this phone can attest to somebody in the Black family hugging the little girls too close, putting their hands a little too low on the little girls' backs, or even out outright raping the little girls and doing little stuff, and don't nobody want to say nothing about it. I even had a friend who told me, she said, when this uncle was around, everybody would just keep an eye on their girls.
Or
when certain people come to the house, the little girl got to go change. So we do this stuff and we let these men off the hook. And if you look at it right now, the way that people are on Gail and Oprah for calling out these men for raping these people, it's the same thing. The same way mama covered their brothers and covered their sons and covered their husbands while they was raping their daughters. That's the same things we doing for R. Kelly and the same thing we doing for Bill Cosby. That's the same stuff. And why are they trying to take us down? These men did it to themselves. To themselves.
I ain't covering up for nail one of them. They deserve to be right where they at. I got a question. Well, Veronica Rivers on Facebook, she asked the question, or she made a statement, and she said, and this is deep, I didn't even think about this. She said, I wonder if the question was asked by a black man, this question that Gail asked, by a black man, would the backlash be as bad?
Let me respond to that. I promise you. Let me respond to that, please.
Responding to that,
I promise you, that would not... It wouldn't have been, because then it would have just been, well, you know, he's doing his job. Then it would have came out that he's doing his job. Black women, we get the lowest of the low. Like we can't be mad.
The black sheep. That's what he calls black women. The black sheep.
We can't be mad. We can't be we can't be too happy. We can't do anything without people coming for us. If a black
angry black woman
us being the angry black woman.
Right.
And as far as going back to, I want to go back to what what was being talked about with R. Kelly.
Okay.
So many people want to say, I can separate the artist from the man. I can separate the man from his music. I can do this. I can do that. Mm-hmm. But yet they will still call these women fat. They'll call these girls fat. They'll still say, well, they're doing it for the money. They'll still say, well, it's the parents' fault. They'll still put everything on everybody except for the person that was raping them, except for the person that actually put them in this situation. And then they want to look at us when we don't respect them. I'm not going to respect somebody that's going to sit there and try to cover R. Kelly. R. Kelly don't need your covering.
So, and then check this out. A lot of people try to say, y'all got to look at it. This man had an issue. He had a problem. He needs help.
He did. He does.
Yeah.
Okay, he does need help.
A nasty sex demon.
Okay.
And he possibly needed help. Yeah, he was molested, or they said he was molested too, at a young age by a family member and all of this stuff. Okay, if you know you're doing this stuff, and if other people know you're doing this stuff, what's the problem? Why had you stopped a long time ago?
Please let me respond to that.
Ahead, honey,
the whole he was molested. They have videotape of him having sex with this 14-year-old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these people still saying that he didn't do it, right? They have no videotape. They have no pictures. They have nothing of whoever R. Kelly is accusing of molesting him. They have nothing but these people ready to jump and say, well, he was molested. Where is the proof that he was molested? You have the proof that he did these things to these girls, but you don't believe that. But you're going to automatically, well, the reason why he did it to the girls is because he was molested. When you don't have any pictures, you don't have any video proof, you don't have any audio proof, you don't have a chisel proof on the wall that he did this. Right. But you're going to believe him and you're not going to believe these girls?
But y'all passed that tape around back in 1997 with him having sex with a little girl. Y'all did that. Y'all watched
a lot of people did that. And you know, a lot of people passed around that video, and you seen it. I have yet to see it. And I do not ever want to see that.
Well, when I was in high school, I saw it. A person showed it to me. Another high schooler showed me the video. And I thought it was really interesting, even at that young age. And I didn't have the framework that I have now. Mm-hmm. I knew it was something wrong with him. And I even went one night, I saw him anyway. That's something else we got to talk about online. But when he came to the Coliseum in 1996, And y'all remember that when he came? Anyway. He is, R. Kelly's just a sick individual. And granted, if something did happen to him and his sister said it did and this and that, that's terrible. But see, that's another reason why we have to stand up to these people who are molesting, because all it is like this, it gets exponentially worse. You rape one person, then here you go. You got three more victims after that. Then those three, you got nine more victims. And then it just multiplies. This is the reason we need the whole, and this is how I feel about all of this. No child, I don't care if she is fast. She could be faster than the roadrunner. It does not matter. No child
fast enough to catch up with a grown man. Ain't no child in this world fast enough to catch up with a grown man. I had to say that. Go ahead.
Thank you.
The responsibility of the actions of a grown man. If you're 13, 12, 11, and you ain't never seen no money, nobody ever gave you no special attention, nobody ever hugged you or said I love you or said you're beautiful, and then boom, you 12, you don't have no self-worth, and then the R. Kelly, fine R. Kelly with all his money, he comes and gives you some attention?
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
Now for the first time in 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years, somebody's giving me attention. Yeah. Somebody's giving me quote unquote love. Now I feel special. Now I feel beautiful. Mm-hmm. I want more.
But you know
what,
Mel? And it's so funny you saying that, and y'all might look at me like I'm crazy. But as a young child, I could have been one of those girls.
Me too.
I could have been one of those girls. I'm telling you, because when I was younger, I wanted to be a singer. I wanted to be on TV. I wanted to be an actress, and I wanted to do anything that I could have done to get there. And if at that age, and I know a lot of people might think I'm crazy, but this is real. At that age, with me being coming up with nothing, if somebody to his magnitude would have offered me a chance to be a singer, and that's what some of the females said that he did. Offered them saying, oh, you can sing.
And Mika,
one of those females.
Yeah.
Mika, listen to me good. What you just described is what Oprah has been preaching for decades, a thing called sexual seduction. They previously called it grooming, but they know who to hit. They know who to come for. They know which kid to get because they know what you're looking for, and they just
give it to you.
And as a kid, you never see it coming.
Let me interject again. Same thing with Bill Cosby. He was mentors.
They knew.
And he knew that these young girls wanted that chance
at acting. On TV.
I wanted to be an actress so bad too. I could have very well been one of Bill Cosby's victims. You know? Because they used that, they used their platform, they used what they had to bring the celebrity in. And when all of this stuff was going on, I said to myself, I could have been one of those girls. And I say it now, I could have been one of those girls. Veronica Rivers says, a lot of us could have been one of those girls. And she's absolutely correct. We are all correct. But my thing is, going forward, what is something that, and I'm going to get a statement from both of y'all, because we're going to wrap this up because it's been good, but it's been an hour now. and see how so quickly an hour can go by when it's so good. So give me something, the both of you, give me something to leave with our Black men. Give me something to leave, something, some kind of nugget, some kind of thought, some kind of inspirational quote, something to give our Black brothers for going on from this point forward on how to move.
Okay, so can I start?
Yes, go first, Selena.
Okay. So I'm a mom. I have four sons. For as long as I can remember, I've always taught them they are not entitled to anything. My baby boy came home one day. He was mad because a little girl he tried to give a flower to. He was in first grade, I think. He tried to give her a flower. She wouldn't take it. He was mad because she would not take that flower. And I said, "What?" So Kareem and I asked, why are you mad? Because I wanted to give her a flower and she wouldn't take it. She doesn't have to take it. And he's like, I wanted to give it to her. It's not about what you want. Mm-hmm. It's what the other person wants to accept. This is what I would give to any man. You're not entitled because of your wants and needs. your autonomy ends where the other person's autonomy begins. So where your desires, where your little bubble stops, is where that other person bubble begins. So if yours ever overlaps and this person is telling you no, and this person is saying they don't like it, this person is telling you, I don't want this, then that's where yours stop. And this is what I want these men to understand, because I just read an article where a 13-year-old girl was shot by a man because she wouldn't let him have sex with her.
Wow.
Because she said no.
Wow, that is crazy.
So my thing is, check your ego. It's not about you. It's about this other person and what they want and what their comfort zone is. If you can't get it from them, move on to something else.
That's good. Mel, you got anything?
Really good. That's really good. And, you know, there's something that she said a while back that made sense. She said, we out here teaching girls how not to get raped, but we're not teaching boys how not to rape. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really, really, really important. We're teaching girls all of these skills and dress this way and never go to here. And you got all these little boxes. You hit the panic button and you keep 911. You keep your finger, you know, your key on your finger and all of these different things. But we're not teaching our boys not to touch other people and doing exactly what he needs to say. But anyway, my message to our men is, black men, all of you are scientifically proven the fathers of the earth. Mm. You're the fathers of the earth.
Say so.
And when we allow ourselves to be in a space, be in the space that we are in, when we are the mothers and we're literally scientifically proven to be the mothers and the fathers of the earth, when we allow ourselves to be in this space, we have gone so far away from who we are and where we are. And I get it. Being Black in America is crazy because we really don't have an identity here. But yes, at the same time, we still have to find a way to get some type of accountability.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One thing that you will not catch me doing, I don't care what a sister does, you will not catch me degrading my sisters unless she's hurting somebody.
Never.
You will not catch me calling my sister a hoe. You will not catch me, because we get it from everywhere. She done heard it 50 times. Mm-hmm. I don't need to tell her that too.
Yes.
It breaks my heart when we do this. So men, I'm asking you, reclaim the throne.
Come on,
reclaim the throne. We need you. We need you. I am grateful that I do have the covering of a man. I didn't always have it.
Same.
I have it now. I did not always have it. But the thing about it is that all of us need it. And I'll just bring up this example. The white DJ, I can't think of his name, down in Florence, the one with the HIV, that they said had sex with 600 Black girls.
Just to infect them.
Yep.
That's crazy.
So how'd he get to that level?
That is crazy.
But I have to dip out for an event. But this has been an awesome, awesome experience. Please, I don't want this to be the last time.
Yes, definitely not. So with that, everybody, we are actually going to sign off. This has been a wonderful podcast. This has been a wonderful live. Thank you so much for joining us in this podcast and on this episode. So my thing for all of our sisters and brothers, just of the Black race, let's come together as one. Let's take our place where it's supposed to be and have always been, as kings and queens. Men, get
Amen.
Back in your rightful place and cover us.
Yep.
Cover us so we will know how to feel protected and loved, and can don't have to worry about our brothers disrespecting us and just taking us out of character. Love us and cover us. And with that being said, I thank you all so much for joining us. Thank you, Melanie, for coming. Thank you, Selena, for coming. And this has been wonderful, just as I thought it would be. Ladies, you will be able to hear this Facebook Live. You will be able to hear this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much again for joining us. And I am out, your host, Tamika Marie. Until we meet again, y'all have a wonderful, wonderful day and a lovely week. God bless you all. Bye-bye.